May Allah heal you from whatever pain you are suffering from. May Allah heal you from whatever pain you are suffering from.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen Wa salatu wa salamu ala khatamin nabiyyin Amma ba'd فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Dear viewers and listeners of Madani channel, welcome to another inspiring episode of the silsila Spiritual Cures. Wherever you are in the world, whichever hemisphere, whichever country, whichever city, we hope that you and your family are safe and sound. A reminder for us that when you are making dua for yourself, for your family, for your community, then remember the ummah as well. Make dua to Allahu Azza wa Jal that for the sake of his beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, who is his last and final prophet, then he Azza wa Jal grants relief to the ummah, shifa, cure to those who are sick and suffering from whatever type of ailment, forgiveness to those Muslims that have passed on, and protection against the oppressors. Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, once again, we have some calls, some questions, and who knows, maybe what our callers will be asking, maybe that question is in your mind as well. Maybe you are also facing that difficulty, or maybe you know somebody who's going through that problem, whatever we are going to be discussing. And so it's handy to have a journal, a diary, a notebook to jot down the important Madani pearls of advices along with the wada'if and awrad, the litanies and invocations. And you can use that as a reference book. Share it with others with good intentions, you'll earn thawab, inshallahul kareem. Certainly, time is fast, life is short, the past is gone and cannot be changed, the future is uncertain. So what matters is the now, the present. It's not how long you live, it's how you live. So what am I doing with my life, my short, precious life? As Amir Ahl-Sunnah Damat Barakatuhum Al-Aliyah, a Kamil Wali of Allah Azzawajal, a great saint and scholar of Islam who is followed by tens of millions around the world, the founder of Dawud Islami, advises us that every day read a minimum of 3 verses of the glorious Quran. Go over the translation from Kanzul Iman, the English commentary from Miftahul Ihsan, done by the great scholar Mufti Abdul Nabi Hamidi, rahmatullah ta'ala ali, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevate his status. The hard copy, the soft copies are available. You can even download it for free from dawoodislami.net. Every day, make your mind, I must recite as much as possible of salawat, durud-e-pak, dhikrullah, istighfar. Make sincere tawbah on a daily basis. Today could be our last day. Every day, do your best to be punctual with the salahs and perform them correctly. Fulfill rights of others. Abstain from sins. Learn and practice the sunnah of the beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Every day, dedicate some time to learn a dua for the day or something of deen for the day. Above all, obey Allah azza wa jal, obey the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. In these things lie our success, our salvation through the will and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The person who recites Salat ala Nabi Durud Sharif upon the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not only he benefits, rather, there's also benefit for his children and his grandchildren as well. Allahu Akbar. So what are we waiting for? As much as possible, recite Durud-e-Pak. Not only you benefiting, but your offspring will benefit as well. We will request our wonderful team to please go ahead with the first call for today. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
I hope you're keeping well, Malana, inshallah. My question is, what are some ways in which a person can improve decision making?
Subhanallah Azza wa Jal, a very good question. I'm sure many of you as well may have this in your minds, that, you know, I make decisions, but many a times it's incorrect. I make lots of mistakes. I have many regrets. Do you know what's the real mistake? The real mistake is not learning from our mistakes. That's the real mistake. We are not perfect. It's always good to consult with people of wisdom and experience. Consult with your mentor, with your parents, with a qualified teacher, imam, Sunni alim. And inshallah al-kareem, you know, they will guide you. So you listen to the guidances and the advices of people of experience, of wisdom and piety, and then you make the decision. If you need to, if you're uncertain, there's another facility which the Sharia, the Islamic sacred law, has provided for us, and that is istikhara. Perform the Salatul Istikhara and follow whatever protocols are there. If you want more information, then you can find that in a book that every Muslim home should have a copy of course, besides the glorious Quran. That book is called Madani Panj Surah, Madani Treasure of Blessings. You will find a chapter on Nawafil Salah, and under there you will find Istikhara Salah, the procedure, what is to be done, and all the necessary protocols to be followed. You may also contact our Ruhani Ilaj Spiritual Cures Department of Dawat Islami. We even have an app which you can download for free from App Store or Play Store. And the istikhara facility is available there also. Free istikhara checkings. Just fill out the online application and your istikhara will be checked and you'll receive your answer. And then you decide whether I should proceed or not. So these are just a few points. And with this, scholars have given lots and lots of madani pearls with regards to making good decisions. If you do make a wrong decision, maybe at that moment in time you thought, you know what, this seems to be the best decision, and you went ahead with it. And then for whatever reason, because circumstances change frequently, and due to the changing of circumstances, the decision that you made is not working out, then change your decision. Learn from the mistakes. Anticipate. What are the possible ways that I may reach blockages or obstacles? So put all of these things in front of you. Take the guidances and advices from your elders, from the ulama, from the scholars. Do your istikhara, and then make the decision. Have good intentions and make that decision. The mood of a human being keeps changing. We're not happy all the time. Sometimes we're sad, sometimes we're happy, sometimes I don't know if I'm sad or happy, or I'm both. So when you are overjoyed, or when you are extremely sad, do not take and make a decision when you are in that mood. When you're extremely hungry, when you're extremely preoccupied, busy, your mind is busy, don't make a decision in that situation. And don't make important decisions when you are overwhelmed by emotions, when you are restless, when you are tired, when you are thirsty, or even if you are very sick. Don't rush and just get over with it. No, you need to think about it. Everybody has some best time in which they feel very energetic. Some people feel like that in the morning, some in the evening. Try to take your decision at your best time. This will benefit you, inshallah al-kareem. Keep in mind old decisions that you made, maybe which didn't work out. Again, we're coming back to learning from your mistakes so that you don't make it again. Practice to take normal decisions. In this way, it will become simpler for you to make important decisions. And you know, we should also give tarbiyah, this kind of tarbiyah and training to our children on how to make good decisions. And let them take normal decisions about their affairs with your guidance, with your advices as well. If you have to take a decision about a matter and you have a personal experience of it, then you can take any decision about that matter in the light of your personal experiences. So the more life experiences that we have, the better for us. Success is the result of good decision making. And good decisions are the results of experience. And good experience is sometimes the result of bad decisions. You learn from them. Consider the bad decisions you made, the mistakes you made as stepping stones to better yourself, to make better decisions in the future. In the modern era and age that we stay in, information regarding any field, almost any field, can be obtained through resources on the internet, other facilities that are available within minutes, and that also can help for us to make a better decision. Never make and take a decision under pressure. If you ever face the situation, then take a decision wisely. Look at all the angles, all the possible angles. It's not necessary you may cover all of them, but do your best. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide you. And of course, that is also where istikhara comes into play. Do not rush in making decisions. Sayyiduna Khaja Hassan Basri rahmatullah ta'ala alayhi has said that a believer is the one who works sensibly, calmly, and earnestly. He is not like the one who collects pieces of wood in the night, meaning he collects whatever he can get in a hurry. Look at how much time you have to make a decision. For example, if you are needed to make a decision, ask for at least 3 days to make a decision. And what you're going to do is think about it, ponder, contemplate, anticipate what angles are there. Make your decision on the first or second day, but don't inform the people. The people you need to make the decision to or inform them, don't inform them because you got 3 days. But make your decision on the first or second day. That's for yourself. Now, on the next day, review the decision. That, okay, what can be the outcome? If I said yes, if I said no, what's the outcome? Are there repercussions? Are there consequences? What possible consequences are there? And then, whatever you feel is better, whichever side you lean on, then on the third day, announce your decision. Subhanallah Azza wa Jal, the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has advised us, work with a good strategy. Then if you see some benefit in the outcome of it, go ahead. And if you fear that you may be misguided, then refrain from it. So keep your focus on the outcome. If I say yes, what are the possible outcomes? Anticipation is something we need to work on. If I say no, what's the possible outcomes? That also will help influence the decision that you make. There should be a purpose of your decision. So you are going to set your goals accordingly. Whether it's about taking a decision to travel, business, a job, studying something, and even choosing a profession, a career path. Don't make your decisions on seeing prevailing trends. No. Does it fit in with who you are, your personality, your skills and talents? There was a time before when everybody, or most people, if you ask the child, what do you want to become? What's your decision? Oh, I want to become a doctor, a lawyer, an engineer. The world has changed greatly. And tomorrow, will be very different from today. So make, you know, a decision that's going to benefit not only you, but also your family and also your community as well. Yes, it's good to imagine your progress, to dream of progress, but don't live through assumptions. Don't just build those castles in the air. Take action. Stop, you know, they say, stop proving yourself. Start improving yourself. Become practical. And you know what? It takes one step at a time forward. Not on the spot, forward. One little step forward. Another little step forward. This is how eventually you will reach your destination, your goals. Instead of wasting your energies on removing obstacles from a difficult path, it is better to put all your capabilities, your plannings, your energies in a simpler way to gain more benefits, to make more progress. Like they say, regarding your goals and your action points, your goals, your strategies, write them in pencil. And your action points, what I'm going to do, write it in ink. Meaning, your plans and strategies can change according to your circumstances. But fix your actions so that you make it happen. You take the initiative, you make the initiative. You put your one foot forward and then your next one. Changing your decision repeatedly and not sticking to it can be harmful, can create frustration and confusions. And yes, it is wise to keep your financial position in mind when you are taking a decision about, example, expenses of a function, of a wedding, etc. Cut out any form of extravagance, wastage. Keep it simple. Yes, some decisions need to be made quickly. When there is, for example, less time left for the conveyance, for a public transport to be leaving, which should I take? This time here or the next time? You need to think quickly. What's my plans regarding my destination, regarding what I want to do on the other side? So train yourself to make decisions quicker. If you have taken a decision between the hereafter and the world, then if you need to take a decision like that, immediately choose the hereafter. By virtue of this blessing, your worldly life will also get better, inshallah al-kareem. The most important thing is that whatever decision that we take, it should be, it must be, within the boundaries of the Sharia, not contrary to it. And as a believer, as a Muslim, we should not rely upon means and resources, but rather on the creator of those means and resources, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That yes, we put in efforts, we take decisions, we make decisions, and that we understand everything is in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's control and power. What is written in destiny will happen. But Sharia has also commanded us to use the means, use the resources, put in your efforts according to the best of your abilities, then leave it to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Jalla Jalaluhu, may He Azza wa Jal improve our ability in making decisions and give us that guidance to make correct decisions. Ameen. Bijahi khatamin nabiyyin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Please go ahead with the next call. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
Hope you're keeping well, Nana Sahab. MashaAllah, on such a beautiful program. Nana, I have a question. At times, a person has road rage while driving. What can be done to prevent this road rage?
This, in fact, is a major issue in so many places. I'm sure in your country as well, you know, you have this problem of road rage. People get stuck in traffic. We know the traffic jams. Sometimes you are spending an hour, 2 hours. If there's an accident, if there's some blockage on the road, because we all use the road networks to travel from one place to another. And yes, we need to take those precautions. We need to be cautious. Accidents happen all the time. All the time. Sometimes you need to drive for others. You could be a careful driver, a driver that takes the necessary precautions, but you don't know the next person, whether their vehicle is roadworthy or not, whether they are driving under the influence, they are drunk or drugged up. The robots, the signals, the rules of the road are there for our safety. Here in South Africa, you'll find on some of the billboards, obey the rules or pay the price. Meaning the rules of the road. Otherwise, pay the price. Accidents. Some accidents are fatal. People lose their lives. And on the road, you'll get somebody who's maybe a narcissist, somebody who's violent, who's impatient. And if you just have to hoot, the guy is coming out, maybe with a stick, in severe cases, with a weapon. This is how people lose their lives. So there are certain things that we should do in order to keep ourselves calm. Give way. If somebody wants to overtake, let the person overtake. No problem. You carry on. If somebody's tailing you, and check your rear view, if you're in the fast lane, and if even if you're driving according to the speed limit, here it's 120 kilometers an hour on the freeway, and somebody's right behind you, but you are at the speed limit, indicate, move one side, check of course the road is clear, move one side, let the guy go, and then if you need to come back onto the fast lane. Simple. Instead of flashing your hazards or swearing the person or screaming and shouting and cursing, you don't know who that guy is. And more especially, what if you have your family in the vehicle? What if your kids are there? And that guy is a maniac. That guy is a violent person and just waiting for something to tick him off. You'll be putting your life in jeopardy as well as the lives of your family members. What's your speed when you're on the roads? People are traveling up and down, Cape Town, Johannesburg, Pretoria, Durban, to other places. And the freeways are busy. The highways are busy. Some people, just to get to their destination, they speed. They go past the speed limit. And they are putting not just themselves, but other drivers at risk. And so before you leave the home, make sure, especially if you're going out on a journey with the family, maybe on holiday, or even your normal days to work, make sure your vehicle is serviced properly. Make sure that the threads in your tire is not worn out to the point where you need to change them. Your brake pads, your brake discs, make sure your lights are working, your indicator lights, your brights, your normal lights, the vehicle's oil, water is all checked properly. You have enough, the proper limit of pressure in your tires. Whatever necessary checks is to be done, make sure your vehicle is roadworthy. So when you're on the road, you don't get into major issues and trouble yet. Your wipers, when it rains, is working properly. And if you are stuck in traffic, don't become like one of those people that become violent and start screaming and shouting and swearing and want to become physical. This is a beautiful time. In fact, very recently, our beloved Nigran Shura, Mulana Haji Imran Attari, he was discussing this. He was in a vehicle and he was discussing this point that if there is a traffic jam, he said how he sees it is, Allahu Akbar. See, the pious people, we need to learn from them. He said, how I see it is that this is a beautiful opportunity to earn lots of rewards by maintaining sabr, patience. And whilst you're waiting, read Durood Sharif, read Zikrullah, read Istighfar, put on the glorious Quran, listen to the Quran Pak, put your Bluetooth on, link it to your radio, listen to Quran Sharif, listen to some kalams, Naat Sharif, Mankabat, so many things we can do. Take out your tasbih or counter and read. And subhanAllah Azza wa Jal, these things will automatically calm you down. That you know everything happens for a reason. Maybe if I just continue, I could be involved in an accident. Everything happens for a reason. Allah knows better. There's a lovely, sweet and short wazifa if you're stuck in a traffic jam. In fact, if you have any kind of difficulty, you can read this wazifa as well. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wala hawla wala quwwata illa billahil aliyyil azim. That's it. Continuously recite this as well. This wazifa you will find in Amir Ahl-Sunnah Damat Barakatum Al-Aliyah's magnum opus, his masterpiece called Fizani Sunnat, Blessings of Sunnat, Volume 1. Practice upon that. And the other advices that were given, and inshallah al-kareem, you'll see. That's how you'll pass the time. With sabr, with durud pak, istighfar, listening to Quran pak, listening to kalam, and this wazifa as well. Well, listen to a bayan, so you can use that time to develop yourself and earn reward by observing patience. Please go ahead with the next call. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
MashaAllah, a very beautiful show this evening. Very motivational, very inspirational. Lots of knowledge short from such shows, MashaAllah, the Dawat Islami Madri channel gives to the public and the awam. I have a question. You know, getting married these days seems quite difficult. I'd like to know, what are some tips for proposals and nikah?
SubhanAllah Azza wa Jal. Lovely question. There could be many that are watching now or who will watch in the future who have the intention to make nikah. So inshallah al-kareem, we'll share some madani pearls of advices and some wadaif as well. This is a great sunnah of the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Great sunnah. And so scholars have given so many different types of advices that if we apply, if we practice upon, then inshallah al-kareem, before we know it, we'll be settling down with somebody who is compatible. At the outset, I want to mention something. Our teacher, Mufti Abdul Nabi Hamidi rahmatullah ta'ala alayhi, mentioned something so profound. He said, see the youngsters, the boys and girls that want to settle down, if every boy took this decision, I'll only marry that girl who has correct beliefs, who's punctual with salah, who recites the Quran, is Islamically inclined, that's the girl I'm going to marry only. And if every girl, Muslim girl, also had these conditions, then the youth themselves will create that revolution. So when seeking out a spouse, on the top of the list, many people, they first go and look for physical attraction and beauty. That's actually right at the bottom. There are more important things to have your checklist. You can make a note of this. Number one, the individual, do they have correct Islamic beliefs? Sunni Sahihul Aqidah. Are they punctual with their salahs? Do they recite the glorious Quran and live their lives accordingly? Are they Islamically inclined? Will they compromise on dini matters? Do they practice upon the sunnah of the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Are they an open sinner or not? What about haya and modesty? What about their character, their akhlaq? Do they have sober habits? Do they come from a good, dignified family? Are there any major chronic diseases that I need to be aware of? Is the person, and of course this is for the boy, is he financially stable that he's able to meet the necessary financial responsibilities? How does the person treat their parents? This person, do they want their children to be brought up with Islamic values? And then you look at physical beauty and attraction. Alaykum bid-deen. Go for the one who is Islamic. Then, inshallah al-kareem, you will live a life of sukoon. That's what we want, tranquility. Under whether the person has correct beliefs or not, you need to ask. You need to find out. You need to investigate that what does the person believe regarding Allah and His Rasul Azza wa Jalla wa Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, regarding Sahaba Ikram Alayhim Ridwan, regarding Ahlul Bayt Athar, regarding the Awliya Allah, regarding Sayyiduna Amir Muawiyah radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Does the person follow the teachings of Allah Hazrat Imam Ahmad Raza Khan rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi? What do they say about Dawud Islami and Amir Ahl Sunnah Damat Barakatuhum Al-Aliyah? Don't be pressured in giving your answer. The ultimate decision is yours. Because this is a life-changing decision. The boy, is he financially stable? Can he look after the girl? For the girl, you need to ask. Will you be staying with the in-laws? Will there be any issues with the ghair mahrams? Will she be allowed to maintain her Islamic dress code, parda, niqab, etc.? Will the children be brought up with Sunni upbringing on the teachings of Allah Hazrat Rahmatullah Ta'ala Ali? Do they agree on these points? Will she be permitted to study, especially Islamic studies? Like we have Jamiatul Madina, which is available for Islamic sisters to become alimas. For boys, subhanallah, good to get a girl that can cook decently, that is a homemaker. And both should ask each other, are there any addictions? Even social media can be addiction as well, that you should be aware of. Is the person willing to support you in preparing and living your life to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and preparing for the grave and the hereafter? And if you do settle down, the nikah, the walima, the reception must comply with Islamic regulations. No music, no intermingling. There should be physical barriers in place. No un-Islamic customs. And are there any un-Islamic leanings of the person that you should be made aware of? A beautiful wazifa at the time of going to sleep. Recite 41 times Suratul Ikhlas, Qul Huwallahu Ahad, with Durood Sharif 11 times before and 11 times after. And then make dua for marriage. And make the intention to avoid anything against the sunnah. Anything which is unlawful, to avoid all of these things. And do this for 90 consecutive days. During this time, even if a proposal comes through and it's fixed, you engaged, finish, complete the 90 days. Islamic sisters, when they have their days, then they should not recite the first word of Surah Ikhlas, Qul. They should omit this. They should leave this out and start from Huwallahu Ahad and continue the Surah. Inshallah al-Kareem. You'll see before you know it, to the mercy and will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there will be good news, positive news, inshallah ta'ala. Please go ahead with the next call. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
My question for today's silsila is, how can a person find emotional and spiritual healing after experiencing a miscarriage, and what can be recited to protect pregnancy?
Allah, this is so common, and the sorrow that accompanies a miscarriage mirrors that of grieving the loss of a relative. And there could be several reasons why that takes place. Of course, one needs to consult with the doctor, obstetrician, gynecologist regarding if there's a medical issue, a medical problem, and then resolve that through whatever medications are prescribed. If this does happen, one needs to control the emotions. It's difficult, but this is a time to observe sabr, that we all belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're all going to return to Him. Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu has said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said that if Allah wills good for somebody, He afflicts him with trials. And know this, that in barzakh, your little one, if you lost your little one, is being looked after by Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam, by Lady Sarah radiallahu anha. And this little one who has left you, inshallah al-kareem, will intercede for you on the day of judgment. Sayyidina Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiyallahu ta'ala anhu said that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when a child of the slave of Allah azawajal passes away, Allah azawajal says to the angels, have you taken the fruits of his work? They reply, yes. So he says, what did my slave say? They reply, he praised you and mentioned that to you is the return. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, build a house in paradise for my slave and name it the house of praise. So maintain patience. After a woman gets pregnant, she should recite, Ya Hayyu, Ya Hafidhu, Ya Musawwiru, 1100 times daily for 40 days. It would be better if it is recited daily at the same time and same place. That pregnancy will remain safe by the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And contact our Ruhani Ilaj stall. We have a special ta'weed for protection of pregnancies. Remember, if you think good, you will speak good, you will do good, and good things will happen, insha'Allahul Kareem. Stay safe out there and keep watching Madani channel. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
May Allah heal you from whatever pain you are suffering from. May Allah heal you from whatever pain you are suffering from.